Brethren, I would rather not be preaching on the paragraph that we're going to consider this morning. I've said of other sections in Galatians that it is probably the most difficult that we have yet encountered. Well, that is especially so of verse 21 to 31 in Galatians 4. And unless we were going through this letter, we would never look at these words. But in the Lord's providence, we are here this morning, and so we need to consider this part of the Scriptures. It's all for us. We shouldn't use the Bible a little magic book and just pick those sections that we happen to understand and enjoy reading. We must, as Matthew Henry put it, traverse all the land from Dan to Beersheba and even the difficult sections. And we are looking at the apostles pleading with the Galatians to return from a religion of bondage, which they had found themselves in by listening to the Judaizers, which said, as well as believing in Christ, you had to keep the Old Testament ceremonies. And Paul is opening up as a pastor, and he is showing them this chapter the contrast between being under law and being under grace. That Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we saw on previous Sundays, he has got to the stage where he is pleading with them as a good pastor ought to. That's what we looked at last time. He puts it like this. Verse 12, brethren, I beseech you. And he has a heart-to-heart with them. He forgets about the rules of grammar in terms of writing a letter, and he goes off on one of his tangents, and he exposes himself, in one sense, by showing his feelings for them. And he says, those Judaizers, they make much of you, but they are false. They are trying to win you to their position, and they are separating you from everything else. That's not for your benefit. I desire your spiritual well-being, and I don't want you just to come over to my side. I want you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to see himself formed in them, but he wants to see Christ growing in these believers. That's where we left off. This chapter, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth, he's at pains in prayer, again, until Christ be formed in you. That's a lovely description of a Christian. Christ was born in us when we were regenerates. And ever since that time, Christ is growing in us. And what we need to do is cooperate with the Spirit and grow in grace. And that's my role as your pastor. I'm to pray for you. And in preaching, this is the aim, that God would implant the seed of his word so that we would grow more and more. Are we growing? We're either growing or we're standing still in the Christian life. There's no neutrality. And now he comes to the climax in many ways. He meets the Judaizers head on, and he says, verse 21, tell me, you that desire to be under the law, don't you realize what you're letting yourself into? And this is where he proceeds to look at the Old Testament passages that deal with Abraham, and then he allegorizes that to them and to us. And then he applies it. So let's look at these verses in terms of explaining them and then bring some lessons out of them, and then we should be done. And bear in mind that they are very difficult. And so pray to the Lord that he will give you something to feed on this morning. I'm not expecting us all to come to an absolutely clear understanding of these verses, but may we endeavor to do that. Now, what does he do first? Well, here are Matthew Henry's divisions. The first thing he does is look at the history of Abraham. Verse 22, it is written that Abraham had two sons. That's why we read from Genesis 16, which dealt with the first son, Ishmael, who wasn't born through Sarah, but through Sarah's maid, Hagar. Abraham had been promised a child from God, and that promise was taking a while in its fulfillment. And so Sarah had had enough, and she said to Abraham, let's engineer something. Why don't you go in and sleep with my maid, Hagar, and see what comes? And Ishmael was born, the first son of the bondwoman. And then, of course, the son of the free, he was born much later, Isaac. So there's the history. Genesis 21 recorded the birth of Isaac. And after that, we have Paul allegorizing it. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? I guess verse 23 is part of that as well. He who was born of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman, Isaac, was by promise. Which things are an allegory? Now, Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory. You have different characters, and they teach us lessons in terms of the Christian life. But this is more than that. This is true history. And you have, from these two historical figures, Ishmael and Isaac, an illustration of what is true to the Galatians and to us as Christians. And so, the Galatians, going back under the law, were going to the religion of Ishmael. They were putting themselves in bondage. They were in natural religion, and they had no joy. There is mention of Mount Sinai being under law and the bondage. And then there is talk of the Jerusalem, which now is the physical Jerusalem, and is in bondage with her children. But if we are Christians, we are not children of Ishmael, we're children of Isaac. We are not born naturally, we're born supernaturally, and we're not in a state of bondage, but we're free because the truth has set us free. And we're not in a physical sense following the law. The Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. We're not under law, we're under grace. And that doesn't mean we do what we want. Oh, no, we are servants to Christ. And we are traveling to the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, this is not easy, I know, but that's the allegory that's there for our benefits. I'm sure you can get your mind around that. Either you are children of Ishmael, or you are children of Isaac this morning. And then the apostle ends it all by applying it. Verse 27. If you are children of Isaac, rejoice, even if you seem barren. Why? Because you have God on your side, because his promises are yea and amen in Christ. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And then another application, verse 29. He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. And isn't that the case today? You have it throughout the New Testament. Who persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ most when he was here in this world? It wasn't the heathens. It was the Pharisees, the religious people. As John Stott puts it, it wasn't out-and-out strangers, but it was half-brothers. Just as Ishmael was a half-brother to Isaac, and it was Ishmael and his descendants that persecuted Isaac and his descendants, the Arab-Israeli conflict. And it is so spiritually, it's often those who are brought up in the church who are not truly born again, they are the ones that persecute the children of Isaac, the true believers. The Pharisees in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Acts, where did the first persecution come from? Not the world, that came later. It was the Israelites that persecuted the early church. And what do you find in the Middle Ages and up to the Reformation? It was the Roman Catholics that persecuted Luther and Calvin and the great reformers. Here in Britain, we had that terrible persecution under Queen Mary. And the Scottish situation was even worse. And then coming to our own history in Wales, in the 18th century, when God brought revival, who persecuted the Methodists? It started off with people in churches shutting the doors to Wesley and Whitfield, refusing them access to preach in their pulpits. It wasn't, you see, the world that was persecuting, but the nominal Christians. And it will be today as well. In one sense, if we are not being persecuted by nominal Christians, are we really growing? Now that's what we can expect in our situation. If there was to be a mighty revival, the persecution, I'm sure, would come first from people who thought they were saved, but who were not. And of course, there would be persecution from the world as well. Now then, that's a summary of a most difficult passage. You will agree with me, won't you, that it's one of the hardest parts of the whole of the Bible. But in one sense, it's a very important portion of Scripture as well. Now then, how are we to learn from this? Well, what I've got here is a table with two columns, and we'll just go through that. And I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts in so doing. The left-hand column, this is my left-hand column, the religion of Ishmael, and the right-hand column, the religion of Isaac. And all I want to do with you this morning is ask, which one are you in? The fact that you're in church, the fact that you profess to be a Christian, does not mean that you are true. Let's look from this paragraph at what differentiates a true child of God from a half-brother. What's the first thing we can say about the religion of Ishmael in contrast to the religion of Isaac? Well, firstly, it's just natural, Ishmael's religion. Man is a religious creature. We have conscience. We still have the image of God. It's in ruins, but that causes us to worship. You don't have cats and dogs having a prayer meeting, do you? They wouldn't dream of it. But it's in man's makeup to worship. And you're worshiping something this morning. That's natural religion. Whether it's a form of Christianity, or whether it's another religion, or whether it's just idols. It doesn't matter in one sense. We all have something within us that has to bow down to something. And that's just natural. And you may have a God in your imagination that you think is the God of the Bible. That's what I was doing when I was brought up in chapel. He wasn't the true and the living God. I'd made him up, and he was everything I wanted him to be. He was very good. He was very kind. He didn't send people to hell. He didn't send Jesus Christ into the world to save certain people, but to save everybody. That's what I made God to be in my own imagination. Natural religion. That's the religion of Ishmael. But the religion of Isaac is completely different. It's grace from beginning to end. This is how one person put it. I think it's Martin Luther. The old covenant through Moses was based on law. The new covenant, foreshadowed in Abraham, and of course you've got it in Jeremiah and Ezekiel as well, is based on promise. The law says, thou shalt not. But the gospel says, or God says in the gospel, I will, isn't that good? There's a book, isn't there, by a Puritan with the title, The I Wills of Christ. Ooh, that stirs me up. That's not the religion of Ishmael, you see. The religion of Ishmael is, I'm trying, and I fail, and I don't have any peace. But the religion of Isaac is God saying, I will have a people. I will save them. I will bring them to glory. It's God's doing. All of grace. Now, which are you in? Is it just nature? Is it, can I put it like this? Is it just a natural religion with evangelical label on it? Or have you really come to the end of your own efforts? And are you depending on God alone? It has to be of grace, and it's amazing grace. And then there's something else about the religion of Ishmael. I'm just building this up here now in the left-hand column. It's about my efforts. That's what we found in the first reading. It was Sarah coming to Abraham and saying, we got to give God a helping hand. The promise is taking a long time in fulfillment. Maybe God means us to do half of the work ourselves, and he will do the other half. And so what you have is man planning, man executing, man doing everything and bringing God in just for the sake of keeping up appearances. And it has been so ever since Ishmael's day. Is that your Christianity? You just talk about your decision for Christ. You just talk about your following after Christ. You were just talking about your activities in the church. It's one of the most depressing subjects I know of. Man's efforts. Can I put it as bluntly as this? I'm not interested in a religion that's man-centered. If I want to do something, I'm not going to be in Christianity. I'd rather be in another ideology. What's the religion of Isaac? Oh, it's not about man doing, beginning with man, ending with man, and in a mess because of it. Oh, no, it's about divine intervention. It's about God electing a certain people, about God in the fullness of the time sending this Saviour. It's about God calling a person out of death into life. It's about God providing a Saviour. Divine intervention. I know I'm repeating myself a bit here, but this is so important. I'm hammering the nail in. Where are you? Is it just nature? Is it just your efforts? Or is it grace? God doing something. You may not have been interested in Christianity. You may have been outside the church, never brought up to go to church. And then God arrests you, stops you in your tracks, and you begin seeking after him. And you can't help it. Part of you doesn't want him. And yet you are drawn. Or you may have been brought up in the church and you may have thought yourself a Christian. And then maybe in a sermon or in reading the Bible or in another way, there is an unease in your soul. And you know that God is calling you. And you know that you have to go to Christ. And then there's something else about the religion of Ishmael. It's natural. Now, what do I mean by that? What's the difference between this and the first point in the column. Well, it's this. If you are of Ishmael, you are one spawn. You don't understand this talk about being born again or second birth, since it's all your efforts, since it's just a sound theology and maybe a morality to go with it. It's just you doing that. Isaac's religion is supernatural. There has to be not just a first birth, but a second birth. You know the story of Wesley and somebody coming up to him and pointing to a person that had professed faith under his preaching and had backslidden, and they say, pointing to that person, "Look, Wesley, there goes one of your followers." And he said something to the effect, "Too right. He was just that. If he had been a disciple of Christ, he wouldn't have gone away. He was just my follower." Oh, it is easy in one sense to build up followers, that people are turning to Christ not because of the workings of the Spirit in their hearts, but because they want to please the preacher, or because they want to please their parents, or because they don't want to get into any trouble. It's the thing to do. Maybe it's not anymore, but in another generation it was, wasn't it? This country was a Christian country once, and it was the normal thing for people to be Christians. They weren't twice born. That's what they did. They were brought up to do that. And maybe there's a danger there for some of you here this morning. It's the thing to do. It's just nature. But if it's divine intervention, it's supernatural. Something happened to you. You can't remember the time, maybe. It could have been gradual. It could have been sudden. It matters not. But you know this, that I was once blind, but now I see. There is this life of God in my soul. That's Isaac's religion. It's not about me giving God a helping hand. It's not about me engineering something in order to get to heaven. It's about God's promise. It's been put, and I agree with this statement, that the trouble with the church today is that there are too many Ishmaels. You see, we've got into a state of panic because there are not people coming in. And what do we do? Well, we do what Sarah did. We say to ourselves, we've got to do something. And what we try and do is use gimmicks in order to attract the people. And those people then are attracted to the church for reasons other than the gospel. And what we're doing is creating Ishmaels. We're creating a generation of people who say they're Christians, but there's been no workings of the Spirit in them. There's been nothing supernatural. And oh, we're afraid of carrying on and waiting for God to send his Spirit and give us Isaacs. Oh, that God would give me a burden so that I would pray with Rachel, "Give me children, lest I die." May we be looking for miracles. Now, don't misunderstand me. We must do everything within our powers to get people to hear the gospel, not just in church, but in other places. We must preach this gospel in 122. We must preach this gospel in the open air. We must preach it indiscriminately. But only God can make a Christian. I can't. You can't. I dread having people follow Christ because that's the thing to do. Is your Christianity just that, or is it supernatural? If it's supernatural, you see, can I say this without being misunderstood? There's an element of me being carried along. Now, I don't mean in saying that we're not doing anything. Let me put it in the words of Paul. Maybe it's safer, isn't it? In Galatians 2:20, he puts it like this: "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I." That's it, yet not I. Is there that in your Christian life? Or is it just you doing everything? Or are you aware of a power within you, a new disposition, giving you holy desires. It wasn't there before. And parts of you is rebelling against this. The flesh warreth against the spirit. Yet not I, because he is working in me. I am growing in grace. Sometimes, I'm being honest here with you, I want to throw in the towel. I want to give up. It's too hard going against the flow. Yet not I. God working in me is keeping me going. It's not me depending on my own resources. If it was that, I would have given up years ago. But it is the Spirit within me, and I cannot give up. Even when I lose my grip, he's holding on to me. Supernatural. I long for days when I go to ministers' conferences, and instead of talking about what we're doing, we're talking about what the Lord is doing. See what the Lord has done for me. And then there's another difference. Again, I'm just giving these points. They're saying the same thing in different ways. The religion of Ishmael is a religion of works. Justification by works. A person is keeping the law, maybe paying lip service to faith in Christ, but it's faith plus, because he's depending on his own efforts to make him right with God. That's why the Apostle Paul is so plain in Galatians. He doesn't bother with the usual greetings that he has in his other letters. He goes in straight away. Galatians 1:6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. You see, all these Galatians had done was say, it's not just faith in Christ. It's faith in Christ plus. What's wrong with that, you ask? Well, there's everything wrong with it. A little poison is lethal. If you put a drop of cyanide in a glass of water, that's deadly. I cannot understand evangelicals getting alongside Roman Catholics as if everything was all right. Now, I believe there can be individual believers in Roman Catholicism, but as a system, it denies faith alone. There was something in the paper yesterday about an evangelical minister in his reading a book by a Roman Catholic. What has it come to? If this is what we're seeing, the confusion. There's been reports in Evangelical Times recently about what's happening in the Free Church of Scotland and about statements being made about the Pope that makes you think that we're in the same gospel. We're not. Faith alone is the religion of Isaac. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Works are an evidence of faith. They are not parts of being saved. That's what Galatians is all about. And then, this is what these verses come to. The religion of Ishmael obviously leads to bondage. It makes sense. If it's just natural, if it's my efforts, if it's not supernatural, if I'm depending on my own righteousness, then I'm not going to have joy. I'm going to be miserable. And you can see from the looks on people's faces as they go to churches that don't believe the gospel just what I mean. They have long faces because they don't know that they're saved. They don't have a hope for eternity. But if we are in the religion of Isaac, it's all of grace. It wasn't me, but God by his Spirit regenerating me, and it's Christ alone that saves, and I'm depending on him, and he that has begun a good work in me will complete it. I cannot help but rejoice. Even if we're not seeing times of blessing, I can still rejoice. Why? Because the word tells me, rejoice, thou barren, that beareth not. You may feel like that this morning. I feel like that. But I can still rejoice. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. I see things with the eye of faith. And even though physically things are going against us, aren't they? The number of people attending places of worship in Wales is dwindling. The gospel seems to be losing its power. And yet, seeing things with the eye of faith, you can see that God is still at work, that he has a remnant, that he has saved a number of people, that he is giving us enough grace in order to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that he, even if we are smaller in number than we were in a generation, we are still in a family and we are going home to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And what are we to do? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. We don't want to have anything to do with Ishmael's religion. I'm not interested in churchianity. It's got to be Christianity. There's no neutral ground. Either I'm in Christ and I'm knowing him, or I'm nothing. Let me just read one quotation and then we'll be done. This sums it up. The religion of Ishmael, a religion of nature, of what man can do by himself without any special intervention of God. Is that you? But the religion of Isaac is a religion of grace, of what God has done and does, a religion of divine initiative and divine intervention. For Isaac was born supernaturally through a divine promise. Is that you? And this is what Christianity is not. It's not a natural religion, but supernatural. Is that our Christianity? The Ishmaels of this world trust in themselves that they are righteous. Is that you? The Isaacs trust only in God through Jesus Christ. Is that you? The Ishmaels are in bondage because that is what self-reliance always leads to. Is that you? The Isaacs enjoy freedom because it's through faith in Christ that men are set free. Is that you? It's a difficult passage. I don't want us to get bogged down in details. The religion of Ishmael or the religion of Isaacs. Which one are you in? And may God, by his Spirit, give us Isaacs. More Isaacs. Thank God for the ones and twos that are being born again. But oh, for a great number to be brought into the family of God for his name's sake. Amen.